Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We have before us in this text one of the most profound proclamations of Jesus Christ. In it, he lays out various conditions and costs in becoming a Christian. Unlike most preachers and Christians in our day, Jesus did not sugarcoat the message of the gospel so that the world could happily and easily swallow his message. Rather, it seems, when you study the teachings of Jesus Christ, that he often coated the sweet message of the gospel with firm demands and requirements that seemed to push people away. Listen to Christ's appeals throughout the New Testament. Jesus told his followers, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." They seem strong. These words seems straight and perhaps even harsh. And Jesus is demanding absolute love for him, even over love for family member and love for friends and love for the world. If you are to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you are to love him supremely. Jesus says, "Enter ye at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." That's contentious teaching. Only few, Jesus, that find the way that leads to eternal life. You're saying that most people will be lost. You're saying this day, on the Lord's day, when millions and tens of millions of professing Christians gather into various worship centers to worship, that many of them are lost? And Jesus says, yes. Matthew 7, "Not everybody who says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And in that day, many will say, 'Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not in thy name done many wonderful works?' And Jesus will say, 'Depart from me, I never knew you.'" Jesus also says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." The scribes and the Pharisees who, with their utmost strength, try to keep the law of Moses. They tried to cross every T and dot every I. They were externally moral, but their hearts were full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And Jesus preached this way because, as John 2:25 states, he knew what was in man. He knew that man possessed a heart that was desperately wicked and evil. He knew that most people followed him for self-serving reasons. Christ knew that some were only following him merely out of curiosity. And they were entertained by his miracles and they were astonished at his teachings. Nicodemus told Christ when he came to Christ by night, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. So some followed Christ because they knew that Christ was sent from God. And many were in the community saying that he was Jeremiah or Elijah, or one of the prophets, even John the Baptist raised from the dead. So he had power and they wanted to behold this power. They did not want to worship him as God, but they wanted to behold this power. Others followed Christ only because they received a free meal and their physical bodies were satisfied. John chapter 6 tells us this. Jesus rebuked those who were following him simply because it was a soup kitchen. They weren't following Christ because they loved Christ. They only followed Christ because of what they could get from Christ physically. And Jesus preached in these hard ways because he knew that some only identified with him because others did. It was a social gathering. It was something to do. Their friends were following Jesus, so they would follow their friends. It was a place to meet moral friends. It was a religious connection. It was something that made them feel good about themselves, and so they would follow Jesus. So to prevent others from following him for wrong reasons, Jesus clearly spelled out what the Christian life consists of. And I'm convinced more than ever that most pastors and Christians do not preach the same gospel message Jesus did. In fact, most pastors and Christians preach a watered-down, inoffensive, false gospel that is significantly inconsistent to the way Jesus Christ preached. If you doubt what I am saying, compare the words of Jesus with the popular preachers who write books, speak on the radio, and appear on television. Most preachers who have the ears of millions bent to them every week present Jesus merely as a free ticket out of hell. Most preachers preach that Jesus is nothing better than a rabbit's foot that will bring you good health, good luck, and financial prosperity. Books entitled Becoming a Better You, Your Best Life Now, 7 Steps to Living at Your Full Potential, all written by a megachurch pastor in Houston, Texas, are nothing more than self-centered psychology rather than Christ-centered theology. Jesus never elevated man as some great moral being who has the capability of doing good before God and gaining the merit of God's favor. Rather, Jesus called man as he is, a rebel, sinful, evil, wicked, lost, blind, dead, and in that, testing their hearts and proving their motives. So in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38, in this teaching of Jesus Christ, we see Christ's requirements in becoming his disciples. There are requirements. Did you not know that? Yes, you wouldn't know it by the Christianity Today, because the Christianity Today says that Jesus is some kind, puffy, welcoming Hollywood Jesus who doesn't offend. But the Jesus of the Bible says there are some costs and there are some requirements, there are some demands if you are to be my disciple. And in this teaching, we see 5 characteristics of those who are true Christians. As we look back at the text, as we look at the demands of what Jesus says of those who will be his disciples, we see Christians in the text. And so let me look at it this way, by giving you 5 characteristics of what genuine Christians will look like. 5 characteristics of how genuine Christians will live. Number one, we see true Christians will practice self-denial. Verse 34. And when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me. Whosoever will follow me, whosoever will be my disciple, whosoever will be my child, whosoever will be my sheep, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And Jesus says the same thing three times. Jesus says, if you are to be a Christian, you must deny yourself. You must take up your cross, and you must follow me. Now, the cross has only one meaning of significance, and the cross shows us an instrument of death. So Jesus says those who will follow me must die. Not physically, but they must die inwardly to their own will, to their own desires. They must die to what they think about God, and they must submit themselves to the truth of Holy Scripture. Now, let me give you four things that the believer must die to if he is to be Jesus' disciple. He must die first to his own authority. Apart from Christ, men are their own authority. And this was the satanic lie from the garden. Satan told Adam and Eve in the garden, if you will eat of the fruit, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so lost man, apart from Christ, strives to be his own authority. A lost man, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, thinks he knows what is right and what is true, and they go on living as they think what is right and what is true. They don't submit their heart to the Word of God. Like Pharaoh, they say, who is the Lord that I should obey him? But those who follow Christ, those who are his disciples, must die to their own authority. And don't we see this in Acts chapter 9 with Saul of Tarsus? Here's Saul of Tarsus, a religious Pharisee, one who proclaims God with his mouth, but his heart is far from the Lord. As he's going to the way of Damascus, he's doing what he wants to do. It was not God who commanded him to slay followers of Jesus Christ. It was himself. And yet on that Damascus road, when the light from heaven shined and blinded him, and God knocked Saul of Tarsus off his high horse, and Saul became humble, Saul of Tarsus says, who art thou, Lord? Now he's becoming Christ's disciple now. He is submitting himself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He's realizing that he has done wrong in trying to be his own God, and that there's an authority above him, the Almighty, that he's been kicking and warring against. So if you're to be Christ's disciple, you must die to your own authority. And you must die to your own desires. And on that road to Damascus, after he says, who art thou, Lord? He says, what do you want me to do? In other words, Lord, I only want what you want. Lord, your will, not my will, be done. And this is the heart of all true Christians. They don't want to pursue their own way. They want to pursue the ways of God. They die to their own desires, and their desires become wrapped up in God's desires. And they submit themselves to the Word of God, and they say, Lord, I delight to do thy will. And then true Christians practicing self-denial will die to their own comfort. And here we kick against modern-day Christianity, don't we? Modern-day Christianity says you can be comfortable and follow Jesus too. Did you get your latte before you came into church today? I'm only going to keep this message 20 minutes, and I'm just going to elevate your ego. I'm not going to speak on sin and judgment and repentance, because the Bible doesn't speak about it, obviously. A little tongue-in-cheek. But that's the Christianity. Just be comfortable. You can have Jesus and your sin. You can love Jesus and love yourself. But Jesus says, if you are to follow him, you must deny yourself, take up your cross. And how many crosses are comfortable? Not the one Jesus died on. The cross is a place of agony. It's a place of sorrow. It's a place of warfare. Yes, spiritual warfare. Because on the cross, Jesus was dying for the sins of the world. Jesus dying to release those who believe in him from the power of Satan. So believers must die to their own comfort, to their own ease. And truth be told, it's not easy being a Christian, is it? Because all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And they will be mocked. And go through the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. Blessed are they which speak against you falsely for my sake. Look at the disciples and their lives. They were hated. They were misunderstood. The disciples were called various names. It is said that Peter was crucified upside down for the sake of Christ. Was this comfortable? Paul went through shipwrecks, abandonments, among false brethren. No comfort. Jesus didn't even have a pillow for his head. So if you are to be a Christ disciple, you must die to your own comfort, and then you must die to your own sinful pleasures. Yes, you must die to sin, because those who are in Christ are dead to sin. And Paul tells us this argument clearly in the book of Romans. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Let it never be so, because those who are alive in Christ are dead to sin. If Christ has died for you, then you have been liberated from the bondage of sin, and your heart delights in righteousness and holiness and godliness. And though, yes, there is a war between the flesh and the spirit, those who are Christians are more than conqueror through Christ who loved us. And Jesus told the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, confronting her sin, go and sin no more. You've lived in pleasure, and you've had men in your room that are not your husband, several men. But now you are a representative of Jesus Christ, so live as a representative of Jesus Christ. And if you consider the writings of John in 1 John, you will see several times that the true believer does not live habitually in sin. Oh, yes, he fails. The just man falls seven times, he gets up again. But he does not love sin continually, because he dies to the pleasures of his sin. So true Christians will first practice self-denial. Number two, true Christians will pursue Jesus Christ. Look at the text. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, true Christians have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And true Christians pursue Jesus Christ personally. And they do not pursue Jesus simply because their mama or dada did. They pursue Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is the eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They do not pursue Jesus Christ because it's the cool thing to do, but they pursue Jesus Christ because He is their Savior and Lord. And not only do they pursue Jesus personally, they pursue Jesus passionately. You see, Christianity is not about dead, ritualistic habits, as some religions are. And some professed Christian circles are. It's not about just going into church and leaving. It's not about just adhering to dogma. Christianity is about following Christ. Do you see that? Don't miss that. That's very important. Those two words should be written in gold. Follow me. The true Christian will follow Christ. They will not follow a man. It's not the priest or the pope that they follow. It's not the pastor that they follow. It's not organized religion that they follow. True Christians will follow Christ. And look at the disciples when they were called at the shores of the sea. Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, seeing Peter, come follow me. And what did they do? They left all, they forsook all, and they followed him. They came to Matthew, Levi, and they said, come. He said, come, follow me. They left all. They left their father's nets and their boat. They left their occupation. They denied themselves and followed Jesus Christ. And they continued to follow. Even when Jesus ascended to heaven, they were in their hearts following the Lord. So true Christians will follow the Lord. And they will follow the Lord passionately. They will say with David, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee.
You see, these false cults who claim Christianity do not understand that. They only know Jesus as a theory. They only know Jesus as a historical figure. But those who are Christians, who have Christ in them, the hope of glory, know that Christ is God. And as God, He is the friend of sinners. And He is the Savior. And He is the Shepherd. And He is their bridegroom. He is their spouse. Do you know Jesus this way? Perhaps I'm speaking nonsense to you because you're not in Christ. Those who are true Christians pursue Jesus persistently. They pursue Jesus personally. They pursue Jesus passionately. And they pursue Jesus persistently. And this is important because some claim to know Jesus and then they abandon Him later. Namely, just take our news recently and those who have denied the faith. Popular authors of best-selling books. Those who are in Christian rock bands claiming to sing for the Lord Jesus Christ and years later saying, I deny the faith. The Bible is not God's Word. And I do not adhere to the teachings of Christ. But true Christians will endure to the end. And why will they endure? It's not because of their goodness. It's not because of their power. But they will endure to the end because they are kept by the power of God, Peter says. They will endure to the end because all who are in the Father's hand, those cannot be plucked out. As the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, He that began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So the true Christian will not apostatize. In the parable of the seed and the parable of the sower, there are some who appear to be true Christians, and yet they fall away. There's no fruit. But those who produce fruit, at least in some extent, are those who are true Christians. So those who pursue Jesus Christ persistently will not last merely for a year, not merely when times are going good, but they will persist to the end. True Christians will promote the gospel, number three. True Christians will practice self-denial. True Christians will pursue Jesus Christ. Number three, true Christians will promote the gospel. Verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Don't miss the great emphasis here. And Jesus says those who follow Him will be about the business of winning souls to Jesus Christ. And why will they be about that business? Because that's exactly why Christ came to the earth. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's one mediator between God and men. It's the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus did not come to do His own will, but the will of the Father. And the will was to die upon Calvary's cross. It pleased the Father to crush His Son, Isaiah chapter 53, for the forgiveness of those who believe in Him. And so the believer who's following Christ, the believer who has Christ in him, will have one main focus in life among all other focuses, and their focus will be upon winning souls to Jesus Christ. That's why we're here this morning. Did you not know that? We're not here to pat ourselves on the back and look good. We're here about the advancement of the gospel. We're here to be equipped, encouraged, and challenged. We're here to gather only so that we might be scattered. And being scattered, we might let our light so shine before men so that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is not about having some Christian necklace on and saying, I'm good. Christianity is about shining the light of Jesus Christ to this dark and dying world. In your place of employment, in your neighborhood, among your family, you are where you are if you are a Christian for the sake of Jesus Christ. And true Christians will promote the gospel with their mouth. And notice I say will. It's not a may, it's a will. You see, the lame man healed. And what did he do? Did he run to his closet, put duct tape over his mouth, and stay as a hermit crab? No, he said he went up walking and leaping and praising God. When Saul of Tarsus was converted, what did he do? Straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogue. And true Christians will promote Jesus Christ with their mouth in one way or another. They will tell others that Jesus saves. They will say that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. They will be urgent. They will have a desire for lost souls to come to know Christ. And true Christians will promote the gospel not only with their mouth, but with their money. It got quiet there. Now the preacher's stepping on toes. But Jesus says, where your treasure is, there is your heart be also. You know, money is only a means to see the gospel promoted. And look at the widow with the two mites, and she gives, and she gives joyfully, and she gives sacrificially because her life is wrapped up in the Lord's work. Yes, we must take care of our own. Jesus says, men, if we don't take care of our family, we're worse than an infidel. But we also do honor the Lord with our substance and the first fruit of our increase. And in this we promote the gospel. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So true Christians will, in one way or another, promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that Jesus came to die. And he died and he rose again the third day, conquering sin, death, and hell. And number four, true Christians will prize their souls. Verses 36 and 37. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Two times the word soul is referred to here. And Jesus knows that true Christians are about the business of the soul, because it is the soul that will last forever. We have a soul that will never die. When you go to a funeral and you see a corpse, and you see that dead, cold body, understand that that body is only a shell. That person is not that person. They have a soul that will never die. And at their day of death, that soul will either go to heaven or hell. And the true Christian will prize their soul. And they will prize their soul above riches and above material possessions. And we look to the rich young ruler as illustration of this. The rich young ruler coming to Jesus saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus throws the law, the commandments, the schoolmaster to bring him to faith in Christ. The commandments that were meant to be arrows to strike him and to show him his insufficiency and his inability to save himself. And the rich young ruler then leaving sorrowful after Jesus tells him, sell all that you have and come follow me. Well, this young man wasn't treasuring his soul. He was treasuring his physical life. And he was treasuring his treasures. And thus, he could not become a Christian. So those who would become Christians must see how valuable the soul is. They must see that the soul needs saving. They must see that their hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, and only Jesus can forgive them of their sin. True Christians will prepare their soul for the day of death more than their time of retirement. Oh, it's not that Christians can't prepare for a time of retirement, but true Christians understand one day they will meet the Lord and they will give an account and they want to be found faithful to the one that's created them. And then number five, true Christians will proudly identify with Christ's word. Verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed
when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. True Christians will proudly identify with Jesus Christ. It's not that they will become chameleon Christians. Identifying with Christ on Sunday and then throwing him aside Monday through Saturday. No, true Christians will boldly say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. True Christians will let it be known that they submit their heart to the truths of God's Word. Yes, even in a culture that denies the truths of God's Word. And the culture will press them. But they will say, this is God's Word, and herein do I stand, just like Martin Luther, when pressed by the Roman Catholic Church. Have you written these writings that are against the Roman Catholic authority, Luther? Will you renounce them and renounce them now? And Luther saying, in a sense, I stand firmly on the Word of God and the teachings of Jesus Christ. I will not be ashamed. He is truth. When the world says, what is truth? We say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They die. True Christians die to their self-image. And they will become careless about what the world thinks of them. And they will do, as Paul says, they will become fools for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this you? Are you a true Christian? Have I described what your life is? What is Christianity? Do you know these demands? The demands of following Christ. The Jesus demands a personal commitment. Jesus demands an obedient commitment. Jesus demands a wholehearted commitment. And Jesus demands an unconditional commitment. Are you committed this day to Jesus Christ? Do you love Him? Do you adore Him? Do you worship Him as the God, as Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, He which was and is to come, the Almighty? Do you see the consequences in our day of not laying the terms of Christ's discipleship? And that's why our Christianity is so weak and dead. We have not laid out Christ's expectations. That's why there's little commitment, so much compromise, so much coldness. That's why there's so much comfortable Christianity out there. Coffee shops and bright lights and loud music and karate clubs and movie nights, and you don't have to go to church, and church is just optional. You can go when you want to, and Jesus is just magic fairy dust that will take you to heaven, and you can love self and love the world at the same time. And you can love Jesus and love self and love the world, and you see we're losing people because we've cheapened the terms. We haven't tested their motives. Jesus was strong with the Samaritan woman, pierced in her heart. Jesus was strong to his disciples and strong to the world. But Jesus, being God, knows the best way to preach the gospel. And I'm asking you, have you followed his gospel? Do you possess the characteristics of a true Christian? And if you're lost without God and without hope in this world now, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The commitments are before you. The conditions, the requirements are before you. Will you follow Christ or no? Joshua says, will you serve other gods or will you serve the true and living God? You have a choice and you must make the choice. Others cannot make it for you. Is He Christ, the Lord, the Savior, or no? And if He is, follow Him and follow Him fully.